certainly is confusing, and it highlights the challenges a treasurer faces when putting together a budget. This type of process of disagreement is actually not that uncommon behind the scenes, as the Treasury departments and the departments of Prime Minister and Cabinet often battle between what's necessary to get a country's finances into better shape relative to the political priorities of keeping a coalition together, especially a new government, and trying to meet some of the social objectives of government. So this sort of thing is not that unusual, that it's out on the front pages with such a public disagreement at this stage. That is the much more unusual feature, and hopefully doesn't indicate signs of a major crack already appearing in the new government.
Both versions of events don't seem to add up in terms of what the PNG government is trying to do. And an 80% cut in funding for the provinces surely is untenable, but by the same token, no cuts at all would seem to be equally untenable in the situation they're in at the moment.
Well, that's right. To get the budget back into some better shape, to reduce the size of the budget deficit blowout that Treasury has been talking about and has been highlighted in the 100-day plan, it's hard to know where to cut other than in these district and provincial electoral funding programs. They are the areas where you can find the largest expenditure reductions, the types of reductions that are necessary to reduce the size of the deficit. Because the only two other big areas of government expenditure increase over the last 5 years have been in interest costs to service the much higher level of public debt. You can't wind that back very easily. And the other area has been a large explosion in wage costs. Now, you can wind that back slowly in the national public sector, but often you need to pay out redundancy payments and things, so there can be an initial increase in expenditure. But for PNG, the biggest source of those wage increases has been paying the costs of new teachers that have come on board to support the free education policy. So it's hard to look for areas of cuts other than in these provincial and district programs. And they are politically a real hot potato to reduce.
Having said that, a couple of provincial governors, notably Gary Juffer, is never short of a word in Papua New Guinea. He's always ready to criticise the government if he thinks it's appropriate. But he's come out and suggested this 100-day plan is the way to go. So maybe there is room for manoeuvre here.
Possibly there is. And a very positive sign we're seeing with this new treasurer, Charles Abel, this is his first budget. He's putting some processes that seem to be much more consultative than certainly processes in the past. And he seems to be someone trying to forge some type of coalition of ideas that often you need to be able to get through big policy reforms. Once again, the big policy reforms in Australia, we saw required bringing together coalitions that one would not normally expect. And that means talking to people, such as governors who are in the opposition, and bringing them in and having their sort of comments and ideas. But even though Abel has talked to the provincial governors, that's only 22 of the members of parliament. The big chance for expenditure reductions is for the 89 members who received the district electoral program. And it's not clear he's been able to secure in that area, and he needs to be able to lock in big cuts in that area to really have prospects for getting the budget deficit back into the line he promised in the 100-day plan.
One of the problems that Charles Abel is attempting to solve is this lockout of government departments down to unpaid rent. Let's just see what he's had to say about that.
There is an audit underway as we speak into government rentals. Go down to each and every lease agreement and make sure that it's justified, fair rent is being paid, and if there's space available in existing government buildings to immediately or as soon as practical relocate those government offices into government space that we have available and save money.
That would seem to be a logical way to go about this, but I suppose the question many people will be asking is why didn't the government do this before? I mean, why are there so many government departments apparently in rented accommodation in the first place?
Well, that's indeed the case, but I guess it's similar to the processes we see in government. Sometimes you think of let's centralise all government rental accommodation into some big buildings, and on other occasions they say let's decentralise decisions as to where departments stay to the actual departmental budget. budgets. So we're seeing a process of re-centralisation. They refurbished some big buildings down in central Waigani, quite expensive refurbishments, and ones that didn't receive full parliamentary scrutiny. They were done something through a tax credit program. Probably promised savings, which were much, much larger than were realistic at any stage, assumed that people could move much, much faster than was realistic at any stage, but they probably booked those savings into previous budgets. And now we find that that's very difficult to deliver, that there will be additional costs there. And that's why this budget's hard, because they're finding extra areas that'll require more money, such as these rental payments, while they're finding it very, very hard to find the savings or revenue increases they need. It's a difficult balancing act.
And as part of that balancing act, the government, and in particular the Treasurer, almost appear to be tipping the scales in one direction, that they're effectively looking at extending their own overdraft facility, if I can put it that way. They say this will be on a temporary basis, but people tend to say those sorts of things are temporary, and often they end up being permanent.
Well, that's right. So they agreed to do this through Parliament a couple of years ago, and this is lifting the limit as to how much debt they could build up. I think it's better that they're up front to actually say there's no way they can reduce the size of public debt to the economy, that ratio back to the 30% legislative limit they have at the time, or currently. It's going to be larger than that. We saw that in the information that's come out from the Treasury during the election campaign. So it's better they're acknowledging that they can't wind it back to the 30% level. It's better that gets parliamentary approval. It's in line with a whole series of processes that seem to be much closer to conforming to the responsibilities of financial management within the country than what we've seen in the previous few years. And once again, I think that's a very positive message between the lines. We're actually seeing from this new Treasurer that he seems as if he's going to try and ensure the budget does actually match the legal requirements of the Fiscal Responsibility Act. And I think that's a good thing.